Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. Hour two. We're just talking about pizza and chicken wings during the break. Live in Los Angeles, this is The Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. 15 minutes, Dave Wannstedt stops by. He's done the college to pro thing. We're going to talk about the Urban Meyer stuff. Joy Taylor's joining me. So my first job out of college, Joy, what was yours?
My first job out of college was a temp agency.
A temp agency?
Yes. I worked. I wasn't a temp. I worked at the temp agency.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And so, all right. And so did you make a lot of money?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because my first job out of college, I was poor.
No, your first job out of college. That was my very first job. That was my first job, period.
And then first job out of college?
First job out of college. Like in the business?
Yeah.
Oh, I was a part-time producer for Sid Rosenberg.
So I know you made no money.
No, I made $8.50 before taxes.
So my first job out of college, I was in Vegas. And so I made no money for 2 years. I was a sales guy, and they gave me one inning of play-by-play, Las Vegas Stars. And there was this place called the Tap House.
That's so local radio.
It's so local radio. So it was called the Tap House. It was owned by a guy named Jim. He's from Ohio, big Browns fan. And they had like, and I'm not joking, it was like 99 cents for half a dozen wings. So I got addicted to bar food, beer.
It happens.
Everybody's got something. So to this day, I've never had a chicken wing in my life. I grew up in rural Washington. I had chickens at my house. I never had a chicken wing. And so all of a sudden, I got addicted to it in Vegas because Vegas has a million bars and a million lounges. And last night, I ordered chicken wings from Fresh Brothers Pizza. God, it was so good.
So the reason we were talking about this in the break is because Colin will casually at least once a week mention this pizza place, and then he does it, and then I can't help but order pizza. Like within it's like a time clock. Like within the next 48 hours, I'm going to order pizza.
Pavlonian kind of.
It is. I'll get home, start to get hungry. I'm like, Fresh Brothers.
There's nothing better than chicken wings.
Chicken wings and pizza. It's a pretty solid meal.
It's the best ever. All right, it's the Herd Hierarchy. It's my top 10 teams in the NFL. Let's not waste any time. Here we go.
Herd Hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to Colin. Number 10.
Listen, I'm still going to put the Cleveland Browns into it. The Jets game, they were missing too many players. Here's what worries me. Not that they've lost 2 of 3. What worries me is they're the only team with a winning record in the NFL and a negative point differential, and that's something Vegas looks at. That is not a Super Bowl winning team. They're a playoff team, and I do think they'll beat Pittsburgh Sunday and make it in. They have the best, highest graded offensive line in the NFL. I've told you before, they remind me of the Dallas Cowboys, Dak's rookie year. Great running game, great O-line, talented but limited quarterback, and they get there, win or lose, probably lose their first playoff game, Cleveland at 10.
Number 9.
I don't even know what to make of the Chicago Bears. I think it's the nuttiest turnaround I've ever seen. They were awful. They lost 6 straight games and everybody was getting fired. Now they've scored 30-plus points in 4 straight games. Chicago hasn't done that since the 60s. Matt Nagy is hot. Trubisky, for all his issues, is 25-12 during the Matt Nagy era. They're on a 3-game winning streak. If they can beat the Packers, they're in. I do not think they'll beat the Green Bay Packers, but I like their defensive personnel. Trubisky does run around a lot. They got a little bit of a Baltimore feel to them, that they're a little contrarian to the league. They throw good enough if the running game is moving. And frankly, the coaching staff, Matt Nagy, deserves a ton of credit because I thought this team was dead. There was a shovel, and I was about 2 scoops from buried officially. Now they're at 9.
Number 8.
Miami Dolphins. I do worry, not psychologically, that Tua was benched, but he's struggling. He's not throwing for a lot of yards. It's a lot of safe stuff, underneath stuff. You know, doesn't move the chains. A lot of 3-and-outs. They have won 4 of their last 5. The Chiefs is their only loss. Their defense is number 1 in the NFL scoring defense. You know what they feel like? They feel like a playoff team, but they can't win a playoff game. It's very much a Cleveland feel, but I like their coach better than Cleveland's. Not that I don't like Kevin Stefanski, but I think Brian Flores is the next superstar coach in this league. Miami at 8.
Number 7.
Baltimore Ravens. I probably have them low, Listen, the running game is rolling. They're good on third down. Lamar's absolutely on fire. If they beat the Bengals, they're in. In the last four games, points, rushing, third down, and passer rating, Lamar's top three. I have the same questions you do. What can they do in the postseason? How will they be trailing against an elite playoff team? I don't know the answers. That's why I put them at seven. But I would not have any interest playing Baltimore if I'm in the AFC.
Number six.
Tampa Bay. I put them at six because of Tom Brady. He's been in so many playoff games and so many close games that you give him the edge over Baltimore. Last three games, I know it's against junk defenses, but he's absolutely on fire. Here's what worries me, though. This is why I do not think they're a Super Bowl winning team. They're 9-0 against teams that are 500 or worse. They're 1-5 against winning teams. There's a Mike Tyson quality. They beat up on average fighters. But you put them in a Lennox Lewis or an Evander Holyfield, and somebody punches back, and they just don't have a second or a third gear. I will say, Brady and Mike Evans are really aligned right now. Brady is using Gronk more. Ronald Jones, who's explosive, will come back. So I think they're clearly capable of winning a playoff game or two.
Number five.
Seattle Seahawks. I worry about their offensive line. Can you win a Super Bowl with that offensive line? But since Jamal Adams got healthy and Carlos Dunlap came over, they have solved their pass rush issue, which has simultaneously helped their okay corners. They need to draft a cornerback, and everybody in the building knows it. I got a Super Bowl coach. I got a winning quarterback. I mean, that Rams game is exactly what the Seahawks do. Their offense looks like junk for 3.5 hours. And then Russell end of the half, Russell end of the game, you look up and you're like, okay, you won another division. So their scoring defense since week 10 has held each of the last five opponents under 20 points, and that matters.
Number four.
The Saints. I've got a concern, though. Since coming back from the rib injuries, I speak from experience, I have a rib injury. He's got an 83 passer rating, and Drew Brees is completing 56% of his throws. It worries me. I'd love for him to take a week or two off. And they've allowed 30-plus points in back-to-back games because they're not moving the chains, because they're giving the ball back. I do think, when healthy, this is the best overall roster in the NFL. I do think they're a tough matchup for Green Bay, but right now, because Drew isn't quite right, I put him at four.
Number three.
Kansas City. Yes, they've won seven straight games, all by 6 points. That's not a top team in the NFL. They've got seven giveaways in the last three games. They have the worst red zone defense in the NFL, and Patrick Mahomes struggled in December. 8 touchdowns, 5 turnovers, and a passer rating in the high 80s. Again, as Trent Dilfer said, their floor is really high. They play poorly and win. But at some point, that's in the regular season. You're going to face the best coaches and the best coordinators and the best teams and the best momentum in the next 2 weeks, and they're just not clicking.
Number two.
Green Bay. My only concern is they had the easiest schedule in the NFL. A lot of this feels like fluff, but their scoring offense is profound. Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones, their two key weapons, both healthy. The offensive line is good enough. They've won 7 of their last 8 games. Aaron looks comfortable. Matt LaFleur, I think, is improved. I think they're a better second half offense than they were last year, where I thought they were very good on script, very average post halftime. They feel like the second best team, and they are humming and hitting on all cylinders. Kansas City's not. That's why they're above them.
Number one.
Buffalo, third week in a row. They're a Hail Mary from 9 straight wins, 24-plus points in 8 games. Their defense now is playing well, and that's their question. They've held 4 of their last 5 opponents under 20. Stephon Diggs is essentially uncoverable. He's the hottest receiver in the league, he and Devontae Adams. So they give me everything. They give me clever coaching, playmakers, star quarterback, weaponry on the outside, playing great situational defense. I think Buffalo's the best team in the league, Green Bay second, Kansas City third, and the best roster, in my opinion, New Orleans at 4. Seattle 5, and Jamal Adams will be joining us next hour. We wanted Jamal on today. We asked, And he said, okay, I'll come on the show. That's all we have to do, folks. We're like the handsome guy. We just ask people out, and they say, yeah, all the time. It's just an amazing thing. So I saw this story today. It's funny. The headline reads, Ravens offense not built to win a Super Bowl. Okay, so I want to give you, these are what I think are very important offensive stats. And the headline is, Ravens offense. It's not their defense. It's that offense. You just can't win a Super Bowl. That crazy offense. Okay, so I think four things matter in the playoffs. Can you run the ball? They're number one in the NFL. Are you good on third down? Can you keep it away from a Mahomes or a Josh Allen? Can you move the chains? They're fourth in the NFL. Yards per play. Are you somewhat dynamic? Well, they're better than the middle of the pack. They're 13th. Points per game. Hey, it's 2020. All the rules are offense. Can you win a shootout? They're eighth. That's who Baltimore is offensively. Number one rushing. Top four third down. Top 8 points a game when everybody's scoring. And 13th in yards per play. So 2 years ago, the New England Patriots won a Super Bowl. Let's look at those off. Nobody ever said they can't win a Super Bowl in New England because of their offense. So points per game, they were definitely better. But rushing, they couldn't rush the ball like Baltimore. Yards a play, mostly the same. Third down percentage, much worse than Baltimore. Let's go 2 years ago. Philadelphia won a Super Bowl. They were about the same yards per play. Third down percentage was worse. Rushing was worse. Points a game better. Nobody talked about Philadelphia's offense can't win a Super Bowl. Yeah, 2 years ago, New England. 3 years ago, Philadelphia. Baltimore stacks up just fine. By the way, in the last month, because I do think momentum matters, how are you playing now? Baltimore's offense you can't win a Super Bowl with. Number one in rushing, number one third down conversion, number one yards per play, second in scoring. I don't get it. If I have to hear people whine about Baltimore's offense, number one in the league rushing, great on third down, top eight in scoring, yards per play, an issue earlier this year when Lamar struggled, currently number one in the last month. Now, Baltimore may not win a Super Bowl. Is their defense good enough? I mean, they got to get through Kansas City and Buffalo. I mean, let's face it. Even Tennessee and Cleveland, Miami, they're good teams. If I have to hear again how Lamar can't pass and you can't win with this offense, every time I watch them, they're dropping 28 on somebody. Every time I watch them, I don't see any sevens. You can't win a Super Bowl with New England's offense. Right now, the Rams' offense. You can't win it with Cincinnati's offense. You can't win it with the Jets' offense. You can't win it with the Giants' offense. You can't win it with Philadelphia's. You can't win it with Washington's. There are teams that you can't win a Super Bowl with those offenses. You can't win it with Detroit's. You can win it with Baltimore's. Dave Wannstedt's good guest today because he's always a good guest, got great stories. But he was with Jimmy Johnson. They won a national championship in college. Then they went to the NFL. The difficulties bridging those two. They're like two different sports. Urban Meyer, the word today is teams in the NFL. Multiple teams are interested. That when we come back.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
The final Sunday of the regular season kicks off with the Cowboys in a must-win game against the Giants. Then the Bears try to find their way into the playoffs against the Packers squad gunning for the top seed in the NFC. For other regional action, check local listings for the games in your area only on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
It's just going to be a great weekend. And by the way, there's no Thursday game.
Yeah.
Everything's been no Saturday games. It's all jammed to Sunday. So Sunday and next Monday's show, it's going to be fantastic. No Monday night football. Everything's on Sunday.
This is it. It's like a bonus wild card weekend.
It's a bonus wild card weekend. One of my friends, he was a Bears head coach. In fact, a Dolphins head coach. Last time the Dolphins won a playoff game was under Wannstedt years and years ago. He won a defensive coordinator national title with the Miami Hurricanes. He won a Super Bowl with Jimmy Johnson, defensive coordinator. And he is now joining me live, Fox Sports NFL analyst in about to be snowy and cold Chicago. So let's start with this. So I said Josh Allen reminds me a little of Troy Aikman. kind of a disaster in year one, but the size and the arm and the confidence that you kind of looked at Troy. I remember this, and you're like, it's going to work, but it's a mess. And then 2 years later, Josh Allen's great, and Troy Aikman was a Pro Bowler. Do you see any similarities with the two? You were there for Troy.
Yeah, I was. And you know, obviously the supporting cast, you look at Stephon Diggs, has made a huge difference. And when we were at Dallas, obviously getting Emmitt and adding a couple offensive linemen and making some adjustments to give him more support that way, that helped also. So I do see a lot of similar things. They're both big, strong guys. You know, Josh Allen, and Troy was a great athlete. I remember seeing him play basketball and come, you know, in high school. I mean, Troy never ran as much as Josh Allen does. I mean, if I'm defending the Bills right now, yes, am I, you know, concerned about the passing game and Diggs, but you also have to account for him using his legs and making a play. I mean, the guy's deceiving with his foot speed.
Yeah, no, very rarely a 6'6 guy can run, but Josh Allen can absolutely run. So you've been on this for months. You said, listen, I could win a bunch of games with Trubisky. Matt Nagy can win a bunch of games with Trubisky, but you got to play what works for Mitch Trubisky. So you're not shocked, I would imagine, what's happened in Chicago in the last month.
No, not at all. And I said that when they were having a debate in August, and we talked about it on our show, Colin, who should start, Foles or Trubisky? And I said, I think Trubisky, but you got to do what he can do best to give him a chance to succeed. And I really think, looking back on it now, that Matt Nagy and the whole organization, they had their mind made up. Nick Foles was going to be the guy, because he was going to be the guy that could help me be a player coach on the field. When that did not work out, now, and you got to give Nagy credit for this, okay? And people are tough on him here, but he was able to take his ego, and his comment was, he stood aside and said, hey, I'm willing to give up the play calling. I'm willing to do whatever I have to for what's best for this organization and this football team. And he has done it. So, I mean, there's not many head coaches that would do that, particularly when you're an offensive play caller, and that's why you got hired. And now that they've made this change, Trubisky's, I mean, he's over 2-1 touchdowns. His quarterback rating's in the high 80s. And there's a lot of excitement. They should sign him back next year. I would franchise him until they can figure out, hey, is he going to be the guy for the next 10 years?
I know. That just sounds ridiculous.
I know.
A month and a half ago, it sounded crazy. But, you know, I said this. It's a little like Baltimore's offense. They don't throw it like the top teams. But there's an athletic quotient here that's hard to defend. They're both very good. And because you can roll the pocket with Trubisky, it's funny. I watched the Rams play this weekend, Dave, and I thought Trubisky would fit McVay's offense. And I think Goff would fit Nagy's offense. But, you know, that's the reality, is that I do think Trubisky can work for coaches, and I think you've been right on that thing.
And they started running the ball too, Colin. I mean, all of a sudden, David Montgomery, their running back from Iowa State, everybody's saying, oh, wow, what are we doing different? They're not doing anything different except giving them the football. He's one of four backs in the NFL that are 1,000-yard rushers.
So you're a former Miami Dolphin coach. You won a playoff game there. They bench Tua for the second time. Right thing to do? Is it difficult to do? Where do you land on that?
It's not. I don't think it's difficult. And Brian Flores is a strong candidate for Coach of the Year. I'm going to give him credit, because at the end of the day, if things like this don't work out, you're going to get the blame or take the responsibility. But the guy, I don't know if they still give an award. I know they did one back in the day when we got started. If there's an award for Assistant Coach of the Year, the guy that gets the vote is Chan Gailey, their offensive coordinator. Chan was my offensive coordinator at the Dolphins when I was there. Then I went and worked for him up in Buffalo. Fitz was our quarterback there, okay? Then Chan went to the Jets. Fitz was his quarterback at the Jets when he was the offensive coordinator. And I'm telling you, the quarterback, Chan is with these two guys all day long. And this is not something that is happening during the game. In other words, Brian Flores is not walking up to him saying, we're making a change. This to have a scenario like they have right now, and like what they did on Sunday, this is something that was talked about prior. And I think it's the right thing to do, because if Tua is in and he struggles, everybody's going to say, well, he's a young quarterback. But the guy that they really believe in, I promise you, those players believe in Fitzmagic right now because of his experience more than they believe in Tua. But let's say, hey, let's put Tua in there. If things go great, he throws touchdowns, we win, we win. But if we don't, we got that security blanket. And Fitz has done it, and he can do it for us.
Yeah, and players, I do believe, Tony Gonzalez told me Sunday, he goes, if I was a player, I'd want Ryan Fitzpatrick, because he's right now, this moment, he's the better quarterback. So I want us to spend some time on this. We both know and like Urban Meyer. We think he's great. But college and pro football is different. So when you went, you and Jimmy, win national championships in Miami, and then you go to Dallas – what was the first thing or two that you realized, okay, this is a lot different? What was it?
In fact, I think Buddy Ryan had the quote. He says, they're going to find out that there's no East Carolinas in the NFL. And one of our coaches, Tony Wise, told Jimmy, he's wrong. We're the new East Carolina. We stink. But seriously, the first thing, you learn this real quick. You take an NFL job, the number one most important person, one, is your owner. Two is your owner, and three is your owner. So if Urban is thinking about this and he's going to make the transition, you better make sure that you and the owner have a rapport. I think the second thing, and Urban's a big, and I know him, and I know guys that work for him, real close guys, and his thing, no one's done a better job, maybe Saban, you might arguably close, of recruiting talented players, but then developing them. So he's going to be involved in the personnel. And that's what Jimmy did. I mean, if he saw a player that didn't meet all the measurements and he wanted to draft them, we drafted them. And nobody questioned that. And I think that Urban's got to, number two, got to get into a situation where the rapport with the general manager, hey, and there's a lot of guys, Mike Tomlin at Pittsburgh, it's the GM and the head coach work together, but it's a veteran team, Colin. If you're going in where Urban's going in, and the way we did at Dallas, hey, we kept the veteran guys that were going to buy in, but we turned that team around. The first Super Bowl, we had the youngest team in the NFL, and we kind of had a college mentality. And I think so if Urban is looking, he's got to look to a team that's going to have a young foundation, and it starts with the quarterback. And Troy was our guy, and Jimmy and Troy, had the good rapport. And the quarterback's going to be the face of the franchise. The head coach, I mean, you don't want to go in with a veteran guy and try to convince him that this is the way you're going to do it. And then the last thing, okay, and this is important. You got to get assistant coaches and run systems. There's a lot of different ways. When we went to Dallas, and I'll give you a story, we got crushed that first year by the Kansas City Chiefs. And he had a big running back, Christian Okoye. They ran up and down the field. It was one of the worst games we had. And I'm watching the tape the next day, and Jimmy walked down the hall. And I remember this conversation, it's about midseason. And I said, hey, Jimmy, you got a second? He came in. It was just the two of us there. And I said, you know what? Look at Kansas City. They're running this under defense. Maybe what we're doing, do you think that our college defense, because that's what we did, I took the playbook right from what we did at Miami, and we installed it with the Cowboys. And I said, look at this. And I said, and then the Giants won the Super Bowl like a year or two before. Parcells and them are running a 3-4. You think our defense, are we doing the right thing? And he said, let me tell you something. We know our defense better than they do, okay? And we got to get players to fit in here, and we got to keep coaching like we're coaching, and we all know the results we'll get. Well, guess what? Fast forward, now we're winning games, we win Super Bowls, and to this day, they still call that defense that we brought from Miami and put it at Dallas, it got labeled the College 4-3, and that's where it originated, and it was just because of, there's a lot of different ways to do it. So my point is this, that Urban's got to get some assistant coaches, and he's not he's on top of it. He kind of runs it like Jimmy doesn't, like a lot of the guys do it. He big picture guy. I'm going to be involved in everything, offense. He's not one of those play caller guys, is my point. So he's got to get a couple assistant coaches if he goes this route, and he believes in the system, and they've got to get players to fit that system. So that's the three things that I think: the owner, personnel decisions, and then get a couple systems that you believe in, and you got to get players to build around that.
Well, that was good. I learned a lot right there. You got a good memory there. So what's it like in Chicago? Like, is it 9 degrees, 15, if I came there for the weekend?
We're going to get about 3. I'm looking at the city right here. See, there I am. I'll give you a little tour right there. We are expecting about 4 to 6 inches of snow by the time we wake up in the morning. The city, it's cold, but everybody's in a good mood because the Bears are winning.
I don't blame them.
I got my Monsters in the Midway sweatshirt on. I'm ready to light a cigar and walk down the street here.
All right. Love to join you. I will soon enough when it warms up. Good seeing you, Coach.
All right, Colin.
Dave Wonstadt. I've never met a guy with more stories. He has so...
excellent memory.
Oh, that's an unbelievable. But his whole thing was, you got to get the owner right. You got to have a say in the personnel, and you better bring systems and believe in the systems. And, he mentioned something that's he kind of glazed over it, but this is a big deal. There's two types of coaches in the NFL. There's the they call them walk-around guys. Jimmy Johnson's a walk-around guy. That they just kind of walk around the whole practice. Belichick tends to be a walk-around guy. Now Sean Payton's not a walk-around guy. Sean Payton's in that offensive room, and he's doing the mad scientist thing, and he lets defense do its own thing. So Jimmy Johnson was known as a walk-around guy. Belichick's a walk-around guy. I think Pete Carroll's known as a walk-around guy, and that's what he was saying. Urban Meyer's reputation is he just kind of walks around the special teams coach. He's just constantly tightening the screws on everything. Sean Payton, I've been told, is more, I'm going to go to this side of the ball, and we're just going to be smarter, and I'm going to spend all my time here. So you can win Super Bowls with both. But I think Urban has kind of a walk-around guy mentality, which is Jimmy was that. Big picture guy. I'm going to go coach my coaches.
Right.
I'm going to coach my coaches, not just the players.
Well, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I think where a lot of new head coaches fail is they don't hire the right assistants. It's really important. That's not a time to be doing favors. Like, you gotta hire people that you believe in and that believe in what you're doing.
Yep. Good stuff. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, Washington released Dwayne Haskins yesterday after nearly two seasons with the team. He expressed disappointment in this decision, but is also hopeful he'll get another chance in the NFL. He said, it's been a long week, hardest work week of my life. All good things come to an end eventually. Just thankful I was even able to get drafted. Thankful to even come home and praying and hoping for another opportunity. I have no doubt in my mind that I can overcome this, that I can grow, that I can be a better person, better athlete, better quarterback, better leader because of this.
Well, he's big and strong and throws an accurate ball, so he's going to get a second chance somewhere. Now, it may not be a franchise guy, but he will be invited to a camp because he's 6'5". He's got big arm. He throws an accurate football. And there are people that will just say he needs to grow up. You almost always get a second chance if your issue is you got to grow up. Nobody's saying he can't throw. He's too small. Like, it's not a talent thing. It's he just needs to grow up a little bit.
Well, I mean, it is a little bit of a talent thing, because if he was playing like not even MVP level, if he was playing average, they would be running away with this division with the defense that they have, and they would be a little more flexible on what happens. Because as we know, the tolerance for mistakes generally has a balance with how much talent and production that you have.
Right.
They're in jeopardy of losing the division, and if he was playing better, that might not be happening. So there's a reason why he's cut. Right? They're not cutting Patrick Mahomes if this happens.
Right.
So Patrick Mahomes wouldn't do this.
Right.
But we all know how this works. He will get another opportunity in the league because, as we've seen with many teams, especially this year, it helps to have a backup quarterback that has starting experience.
And he's also, there's still four or five teams in this league that have kind of your traditional pocket guy, and that's where he fits. He's not an athlete. Like, you're not going to move the pocket with him, but just a bit, like, how valuable would a backup quarterback be for, like, the Rams this weekend? A big, strong kid who could make throws. Like, what we've learned about this league is unless it's Tom Brady, you will go to your backup quarterback every couple of years.
I think it was Jimmy Johnson. I don't want to misquote him, but I think it was Jimmy who said, like, the second most important position on your team is
backup quarterback. He will play it's Tom Brady.
Look at the Saints the past 2 years.
Look at Philadelphia.
Look at Philadelphia.
Rams
look
now.
Look at the Rams.
Chicago.
Look at the Raiders. Chicago.
Miami.
Yes, it's very important to have a strong – and what the Steelers did last year. Like, it's very important to have a strong backup quarterback. So he's going to get another opportunity. Look, at the end of the day, if I was Ron Rivera, I don't think I would have. I think I would have cut him immediately. I understand he. The only reason I feel like Haskins was even out there this week is because he felt an obligation to the rest of the guys on the team to put right. the best player on the field and not punish everyone else for Haskins' yeah. decision. But he's going to get another opportunity in the league. So Cam Newton was benched for Jarrett Stidham in the third quarter of the Patriots' 38-9 loss to the Bills last night. And after the game, he expressed his frustration with how his season in New England has gone.
So you can kind of understand the frustration that I do have when I don't have the outcome because I'm sacrificing so much. I'm talking to a person who ain't seen his kids in 3 months. Submitting myself to this team is something that I've been doing since day one. Being accessible. It's frustrating. I've sacrificed so much this year. And, I mean, it hurts.
I'm fascinated. I've been to JCPenney. I've never seen that jacket. I've been to The Gap. I don't understand. Where does he get his clothes?
That is not a JCPenney coat. Cam's got a whole fashion situation.
Does he have a line?
No, I don't think he has a line, but I'm sure he has a style. Actually, I don't know if he's a stylist. It might be his own, but
I've never seen any of his clothes anywhere.
I would have a hard time thinking that he doesn't have someone helping him with, like, source clothing and getting exclusive pieces and stuff.
I've been to J. Crew. I've never seen that jacket.
That's not a J. Crew.
I've been to Abercrombie and Fitch.
Not an Abercrombie coat. I don't know what that coat is, but I'm sure it's pricey, and I'm sure it's exclusive. Cam has got Is he the best? Yeah, I think he's the best dressed.
Oh God, yes. There's not even a second.
I'm trying to think of a second. It's not coming.
There isn't one, I don't think.
No, not a close second. It's like Russell Westbrook and Cam Newton.
That's it.
Best dressed in sports.
I mean, in terms of stylish.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, LeBron.
No one else could wear that. Like Cam wears that and he pulls it off. Anyone else wearing that is just. You have to have the full entire swag and confidence to pull off extreme pieces, and he does with these. Now, the situation with the Patriots is a different situation. I don't put this all on Cam. This is an extreme situation for Cam to go into. Now, look, could Cam have played better? Yes, absolutely. Yes. Is he having trouble throwing the ball? Absolutely. But the Patriots are in big trouble. And this is not a surprise. The Patriots were in big trouble well before Cam got there. We were talking about this well before Cam got there. I thought they were going to be the worst team in the AFC East.
They are. And it's
like,
really...
I mean, like, obviously the Jets are worse, but the Jets,
right
but
now
the Jets are in
team.
A better situation
yes.
moving forward
that's,
as well.
That's New England's issue. It's not just a bad team. They're now picking 14th in the draft. So, okay, Trevor Lawrence is gone. Wilson kid out of BYU is gone. Justin Fields is gone. Trey Lance is gone. The question is, will Mac Jones from Alabama be there with the 14th pick? It'll probably be, my guess is they all go. It's going to be, if Minnesota, for instance, took a quarterback, then they're not going to have a quarterback.
The problem with the Patriots, because I know Patriots fans are going to start freaking out. We have Bill Belichick, and believe me, I'm still giving Bill Belichick grace. I think he has a master plan. But even if they bring in a quarterback, and don't give me the whole, like, well, we don't need the top pick in the draft, Tom Brady. Okay. Like, he went the sixth round. Nobody's getting credit for Tom Brady.
Right.
Tom Brady gets credit for Tom Brady.
That's right.
That's it. Nobody gets credit for drafting Tom Brady. That wasn't like, that wasn't some wizardry.
Right.
So that's not going to happen again. Period. But the problem is, even if you bring in a veteran quarterback, what do you do with the rest of your squad? What is the rest of this roster? Now, you're going to get the eight players that opted out back, so you're going to get improved there. But this division is not the same. The Bills are not getting any worse. The Dolphins are getting better. The Jets have a million draft picks, cap space, a GM, and they're going to get a quarterback. So this is a new world for the New England Patriots. So this situation with Cam is not surprising to me. So Nets guard Spencer Dinwiddie partially tore his ACL in his right knee and will miss the remainder of the season.
Oh, that's
really
brutal.
Awful news.
Brutal.
The Nets confirmed the injury and said his surgery is scheduled for next week.
Oh.
There's reportedly no other structural damage in his knee, and he's expected to make a full recovery before next season. But this is a huge loss for the Nets.
Yeah. You know, this is interesting to me. We all know the NFL's got like UFC has a regulated level of violence, right? I'm always surprised how few NFL players miss the season. They miss games. You're talking about 300-pound guys landing on each other. The NBA it always feels like it has a lot of season-ending injuries to me.
Well,
is it because
if it's those kind of injuries, you're missing the season.
Is it because you go from 0-60 so far. I mean, you have almost no preseason. Then you're playing 38 minutes.
Well, the NBA season is also very long.
So you're tired athletes.
I mean, they obviously just started back, so you can't blame this injury.
That's
on
a bad loss for them.
That is, it's significant. He's a big part of the glue on that
chemistry
team. He had a breakout season last year. Yeah, so it's a huge loss, but he will be back for next season.
All right, Joey with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
James Harrison stopping by today, the all-time sack leader for the Steelers. Jamal Adams of the Seahawks stops by as well. Thoughts on Urban Meyer. Should he go to the NFL? Plus, it's weird. I can't make heads or tails of it, but it is a fascinating NFL stat. That's next, The Herd.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
We were talking about Josh Allen earlier today. It's really hard to find examples of somebody that's wildly inaccurate as a quarterback, Josh Allen, college and his first year as a pro. Like, horrible. And now he completes 70% of his throws. What would worry me if I'm Buffalo is how much of this is Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator, who's going to leave. Like, is this as good as it's going to get for Buffalo? Because Josh Allen, you're not paying him any money right now, and he's got probably the best offensive coordinator in football. Like, there, it feels like for Buffalo, there's a little bit of urgency. I don't feel that with Kansas City because Andy Reid's not going anywhere for a decade. And Andy Reid's the guy design and play. So I know Mahomes is going to be good for a decade. I don't worry about that. Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur, they're not going anywhere. Sean McDermott's a defensive coach, much like Belichick. He relies on his coordinator. Like Jimmy Johnson, that offense was Norv Turner's. That's why Norv was really good. So it's really interesting about Buffalo. I love their story, but I could see it unravel a little bit if Brian Daboll takes a Charger job or a Jacksonville job and you hire an offensive coordinator and he's okay. Because, I mean, there's a lot of things quarterbacks get better at. But you don't take inaccurate guy and make him accurate guy. In fact, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I always had this theory on quarterbacks. You could never complete less than 60% of your throws in college and be a star in the NFL. Matt Stafford, who, by the way, talented but kind of underachieved in his career, you could look it up. Stafford, I think, was at Georgia like 59%. And it was why when he got drafted, I said, big arm, big talent, but I think Matt Ryan, so Stafford at Georgia was 57%. And that in the NFL, to go from college, you got to be at 60% completion rate. I remember years ago, I don't want to call out the player. I can't say the coach's name or you'll know the player. There was a head coach in college who had a very popular player, and he predicted Tebow wouldn't work. He predicted Jake Locker wasn't going to work. He texted me. He's like, not going to work, not going to work. He's like, Jake Locker's not accurate enough at college. The windows get smaller. And he said, Tebow's got great receivers in college. He'll never get that wide open wide receivers that he has at Florida, and he doesn't throw. But the point being is you just don't see it much. You don't see a guy that was inaccurate in college, inaccurate as a rookie, like 52%. And then they're completing 70 a couple years later. So it makes me worry about this is the best the Bills are going to be. They've got this classic sort of, it was like Atlanta when they got to a Super Bowl. They had Kyle Shanahan. He took Matt Ryan to a different level. Kyle leaves. Atlanta's never the same. Now, I think Sean McDermott's better than who Atlanta had as a head coach. But it does feel, Peter King came on earlier and talked about this massive, almost unexplainable accuracy leap for Josh Allen.
As far as, you know, the re-tinkering with Josh Allen, this started, Colin, last year at the Super Bowl when Josh Allen talked to Tony Romo. He didn't retool him totally, but he did give him some advice and obviously continues to retool his delivery. And you're absolutely right. His accuracy, you very rarely see a guy who was inaccurate, as inaccurate as he was at Wyoming in his first year in Buffalo really improved, but he has.
By the way, we're talking about Urban Meyer. So I don't worry about anything with Urban Meyer other than the fact that he doesn't have any NFL DNA. Jim Harbaugh was a college guy, right? But he played in the NFL and was a wide receiver coach. Tom Coughlin was a 7-year NFL wide receiver coach before he coached Boston College. Matt Rhule had coached in the NFL. Cliff Kingsbury played in the NFL. Generally, Pete Carroll was in NFL way before USC. Generally speaking, the college guys that work in the NFL, Jimmy Johnson, and he's the exception for a lot of things, but Jimmy told me years ago he would go to NFL seminars every offseason. He wanted to be an NFL coach. It's just he had to start at like Oklahoma State and then go to Miami. But he wanted to be. I've known Urban for years. He would admit to you for the first 20 years of his college career, he didn't even watch Sunday football. He didn't watch it. So what was the guy, Michigan basketball coach, got hired by the Cavs, Beeline. Yeah, like he was a great college coach, but never gave you an inkling he liked the NBA. He went there a month in, it was like, oh, this doesn't work at all. He didn't get the players, he didn't get the culture, he didn't get, and Beeline's still a top five college basketball coach. So that worries me. Nothing else does. The smarts, the leadership, that's all good. Hour 3 next.